toward the mission, of spreading the good news of Jesus and the gospel. And he stood in that. He weathered every storm regardless of what came his way. Like, he faced tremendous persecution to date as he's writing this letter, and he's going to continue, as we know, as he gives his life for the sake of the gospel. He continued to face tremendous persecution for the name of Jesus. And so even in whatever situation, even in whatever circumstance he found himself in, he's not approaching that selfishly, right? He simply desires for the name of Jesus to go out. He desires to support even this church that he's writing to in Philippi. He desires that they too would have that same kind of focus on the mission, regardless of what circumstance they find themselves in. And so last Sunday in our passage in the middle of chapter 2, we got a very important reminder as it relates to our salvation. All right, so salvation in the life of a believer, of course, refers to a past event, right? Like you became saved. You were not saved, now you are saved. You went from death to life. You gave your life to Jesus. You believed in what he did for you on the cross. Like, we know that, all right? That's one thing. We also know that salvation refers to a future destination, right? Like Paul says, that's the hope that I cling to, the hope that I have. I press on toward that goal to spend eternity with my Savior. All right, so that's the reality. It's a past event. It's a future destination. And what we were reminded of last week is that this is also, salvation is also a present journey that we embark on. Right, Philippians 2:12, Paul challenges the church to work out their salvation. Because this life that we live now, in between where we've come from to accepting Jesus to our eternal hope of spending eternity with him, the life we live now in between that, it matters. Do you believe that this morning? Like, the life that you live as a representative of Jesus, as a believer in him, it matters. We're called to continue to be faithful. We're called to continue to be obedient and live on mission, growing in this relationship that we have with Jesus. And so in our passage this morning, we're going to look at two individuals who Paul kind of just gives a shout out to for how they do that, for how they live on mission. And it's, to me, it's somewhat of an interesting position where Paul throws this in. Okay, this might be something that you would expect toward the end of the letter, but it's right here in the middle of chapter 2. And so, you know, it's interesting because we've covered some really, really incredible stuff, incredible truths so far in the book of Philippians. We've seen how Paul's sufferings have been used to advance the gospel, that he suffered for the sake of the gospel being spread. We've been challenged by Paul's powerful statement right earlier that to live is Christ and to die is gain. We've been challenged to be an example, or we've been challenged by the example of Jesus Christ himself, how in his humility, he became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. We've been challenged as followers of Jesus last week to be a light in this dark world. And there's still a lot of great truth to come through this book of Philippians. But right in the middle of all of that, we get this shout out of these two men. And he lets the church know when they can expect for them to arrive in Philippi. It's kind of like a travel log as to when these men are going to be coming to them. Stuff that you might expect, again, at the end of a letter. Like, P.S., I hope to travel to you soon. P.S., I hope to see you soon. God bless. Bye. Like, see you later. That's what you would expect this to come at the end of the letter, but this information is right in the middle. Why? And I think it's significant as to where we came from last week, thinking about salvation as a journey and the call that we have to be obedient in our relationship with Jesus. I think that's why Paul acknowledges these two men here. All right, because these two men are individuals that here in chapter 2, Timothy and Epaphroditus, Paul's going to show that they are living examples of a Christ-like life. And that Christ-like life is an example of someone that, like, we've all been called to live for him. Not just Timothy and Epaphroditus, but we've all been called to live like Christ. Regardless of what happens, these two men are like Paul, are saying, you know, how can this event, how can this situation, how can this circumstance in my life be used to advance the gospel? That's what they're concerned about. So all of these truths that I've identified, to walk in humility, to be obedient to God, to be a light in the darkness, to put God's will above our own, all of these things that Paul has been challenging us in, he gives a shout out here to Timothy and Epaphroditus. Why? Because they are living that out. They're men of character, individuals who are examples of Christ-likeness. And so that's what brings us to our passage this morning, two individuals who are examples of what it means, what it looks like to be a true follower of Christ and stand in that, men of character. So Philippians chapter 2, if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. We're going to be beginning in verse 19. And here's what it says. It says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly." Verse 25, so that's Timothy. Verse 25, he talks about Epaphroditus. "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, and because he was a soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick." Verse 27, "For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me." All right, and that's a lot. But that's our passage this morning as Paul gives this shout out about Timothy and Epaphroditus. And so again, we see these two men who obviously have a relationship with Paul, but they have a relationship with the church in Philippi. And what's significant is that Paul speaks very, very, very highly of these two men as they have their mindset on advancing the gospel just as Paul does. That's their focus. And that's what Paul commends them for. He cites these two individuals as examples for the church in Philippi to follow. And they're not being introduced to the church for the first time. The church of Philippi knew these guys. They both spent time in Philippi. Epaphroditus was from Philippi, and so he's not introducing them, but it's using these two that the audience already knows as an example, saying, hey, look at these guys. Look at their faith in Jesus and follow that. All right, and so again, the first of the two is Timothy, and he's mentioned here in verse 19, and he's hopeful to be sending Timothy to the church soon. And again, even as we've seen so far in the book of Philippians, remember that like this church means a lot to Paul. Like they're very near and dear to Paul, and it's one that he cared very deeply about, people that he cared for. And so Paul, obviously, in prison for the sake of the gospel, is unable to make it to Philippi at the present moment. And so he says he wants to send Timothy to them because he's someone that he could count on. He's someone that he could count on in regard to like the message of how delivering the message of how the church is doing, the condition of what's going on in Philippi. And so really what we get to do this morning as we break down this travelogue of an update as to when Timothy and Epaphroditus are coming, we get to break down some of these characteristics that these men of strong biblical character have that are worth replicating in our own walks with Jesus. Remember, Paul wasn't just sending these two guys because they were the only ones he could find, right? He wasn't just saying blindly, well, you're the only two here. You guys can go. I think you can handle it. Okay, like Paul isn't shy about it. In fact, look at what he says in verse 20. He doesn't sugarcoat it at all. He says, I have no one else like Timothy. He says, I have no one else like Timothy who's going to love and care for you, the church, the way that Timothy will. All right, so this was not an accident that these two men are being shouted out here and they're being sent out by Paul. He's sending them because they are examples of lives that are lived all for Jesus. All for Jesus. They're examples of individuals who put the truth of the gospel of Christ before everything else. And so as a result of that, they fulfill that calling that they have to be a witness for Christ. In Acts 1:8, that's what it says, right? A life lived through the Holy Spirit to be his witness. It says you will receive power when what? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, these guys are living that out. And so let's look at some of these characteristics that allow Timothy and Epaphroditus to fall into that category and allows Paul to talk about them in such a way. Starting with Timothy. So why did Paul desire to send Timothy? What's a characteristic from the life of Timothy that we should also seek to have? All right, and the first one is this, that he loved the people of God. Timothy had a great love for the church. Timothy had a great love for the church. Paul says he is genuinely concerned for the church. He's so in tune with the Spirit of God that he's not driven for self-interest or self-gain like everybody else is. Like Paul does, again, he doesn't sugarcoat this in verse 20 and 21, right? He was gospel-centered. He's concerned specifically with this church in Philippi that they would, again, continue to advance that same truth and the message of Jesus. So Timothy, just like Paul, is concerned that this church would stay focused and that the gospel would be central in all that they do. This church mattered deeply to Timothy. He had a great love for them. They mattered to him. And so for Timothy, for starters, again, he's worth imitating because of this genuine love that he had for the people of God. He wasn't self-centered. He was other-centered. He was gospel-centered. And Paul points out the fact that that's very rare. Would you believe that that's rare even back then? All right? Like that's even rare back then. That everyone looks out for their, everybody looks out for their own interests. Except for this guy. So that's why I'm sending him to you. Right, we know that's not the way that it's supposed to be in Christ. Like in church, we can give the Sunday school answer that it's not about ourselves, it's about Christ and it's about others, and it's not about me. And if it is about me, again, we know that the church doesn't work that way if we're only concerned with ourselves. If we apply that even to our church, right? The church doesn't work if everybody in here is concerned with themselves. The only way that we work is if we are primarily concerned, first and foremost, concerned with Jesus, second, others, and thirdly, ourselves. That we're willing to love sacrificially the people of God for the purposes of God, just as Timothy is here. So again, Paul speaks incredibly highly of this man of character in Timothy. He says, I have no one else who has the faith and care that Timothy will display for you. And in one of the letters Paul addresses to Timothy, he reminds him, 1 Timothy 1:5, he says, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So Timothy got this, right? Like Timothy had a great love for the church. That's number one. Number two is that Timothy had already proven to be dedicated to the mission. He was dedicated to the mission. Verse 22, Paul says that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel. And so if that sounds familiar, if you've been here for any amount of time throughout this series, chances are you've heard a similar statement about the gospel through the book of Philippians. The Philippians' partnership in the gospel, Paul addresses in chapter 1, verse 5. He says that they need to strive together, unified for the faith of the gospel back in chapter 1, verse 27. And now he says it here again in chapter 2. So if you didn't know by now, now you know. This whole gospel thing, the advancement of the gospel, the continuation of sharing the good news of Jesus, like that is all that Paul cares about. Okay, if you didn't know that by now in this series, now let me tell you, like that is what Paul cares about. He's in prison, and that's all that matters to him. is the furtherance of the gospel. And so what is special this time, as he mentions it here at the end of chapter 2, is that this younger protege in the faith, in Timothy, he's been serving alongside Paul in this great call of the mission and advancing the gospel. He's been with him the entire time. Or not the entire time, but a lot of the time. Right? He's been right there fulfilling this great call. I mean, that's a significant shout out that he gives to Timothy. See, the mission to further advance the good news of Jesus, this gospel, what's the gospel? The gospel is that, you know, God sent Jesus into this world to live a perfect and sinless life, to take a death, take a punishment, take death on the cross that we deserved as sinners in need of a Savior. And he rose again the third day, conquering sin and conquering death. So that if we believe in that, then we have eternity spent with our Savior. That's the message that Paul wants to get out. Amen? That he became sin for us. He took the wrath of God that if we believe, we will be saved. And so in that mission, in that message, Paul's sending Timothy out because he's also fixated on that. That's what matters to Timothy, that the continuation of the gospel would go forth. He was dedicated to the mission. He's a man that is of proven character. Keep in mind, these two have been serving and advancing the gospel for years to this point, way back to Paul's second missionary journey. And so Paul doesn't just speak highly of Timothy because he heard through the grapevine that this guy was pretty good, this guy had a decent relationship with Jesus. He had confidence in Timothy because he had walked with him in this. He was there with him. Right? Timothy was his protege. He speaks highly of him because he was an influence and he was invested in Timothy's growth in Christ. That's how Paul can speak so highly of Timothy. And one last point about Timothy's character is that the Philippians could trust Timothy because he was a disciple of Christ, not merely a follower of Paul. And it's on the screen. Right? So how could they trust this guy? Because he was a disciple of Christ. Like, he had a personal relationship with Jesus. He wasn't just simply following Paul blindly and saying, well, this guy says I need to do this, so guess what? I'm going to do that. Like, Timothy was invested in his own personal relationship with Jesus. He wasn't just following Paul around. He was committed and dedicated to the mission because he understood it for himself. And that's big. That's big. He had his own relationship with Jesus. He wasn't just a follower of Paul. And so, you know, in this world today, as we apply that to our world, it's become so easy to just be a follower of someone. Like, that's literally what you're called. If you follow someone on Instagram or Twitter or whatever social media app you use, like, that's what you're called. You're called a follower, right? The most famous people in the world have millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of followers. But we need to be careful with that in the world that we live in today. As people who are first and foremost to be followers, believers in Jesus Christ, we need to be careful what we do with that. Right? It's even, as we take that further, it's become so easy to have our own personal quiet time, or whatever you want to call it, or devotion. It's become so easy to have that replaced by just watching a sermon online, or fill in the blank, or hearing so-and-so's take on whatever issue in the world. That's what fills our time. Why? Because we're followers of that person. It's become so easy. We watch stuff online as opposed to joining a life group or being part of a Bible study. Right? Like, don't get me wrong, like, Paul was no doubt a great person of influence in Timothy's life and his walk with the Lord. But guess what? Paul isn't the Savior in Timothy's life. That's Jesus. And so whoever we follow, whoever we like, whoever we're invested in, whoever we like how they speak or how they talk or whatever, how they lead worship, they're not the Savior of your story, just as they're not the Savior of Timothy's story. That is Jesus. And so whatever it is, whether it's a discipleship relationship or watching someone online because you like the way they preach, or you like this news outlet as opposed to that news outlet, whatever it is, we need to make sure that we're growing deeper as a follower and worshiper of Jesus, first and foremost, not a worshiper of someone else. Timothy was a disciple of Christ. He was a follower of Christ, first and foremost, not just a follower of Paul. And it's absolutely appropriate to learn under someone else's teaching, as Timothy did for Paul. But ultimately, it's about growth in Christ for Timothy. All right. So along with Timothy, we see Epaphroditus mentioned here, if you look, beginning in verse 25. So a little backstory with him. This is one of just a couple spots where we see Epaphroditus mentioned in Scripture, the other also being in the book of Philippians. We know he was from the city of Philippi, and he served as a messenger who delivered a care package to Paul while he's in prison, but he went above and beyond in that, as Paul says here. And so in this passage, we learn that Epaphroditus had become very, very sick and almost died while in his service of Paul. And again, on the surface level, like, Epaphroditus to the Philippians is kind of just a messenger who delivered a package to Paul. But he's spoken very highly of here by Paul in this passage. And again, like Timothy, there's some characteristics that Epaphroditus possesses that are worth imitating in our own walks with Jesus. All right, look at verse 25. First, he's identified by Paul as a brother. Paul's brother in Christ. That's one that should probably, like, would probably really, really hit home with the church in Philippi, because just a little bit earlier, Paul speaks to this unity that this church is supposed to have. People who come from different backgrounds, different places, different upbringings, different cultures, whatever. And, like, the truth is, they're a family in Christ, as Paul speaks to unity. And so, because Epaphroditus has a relationship with Jesus, like, guess what? He is a brother in Christ to Paul. Secondly, he's identified by Paul, if you continue, he makes a list, he's identified as a fellow worker. Okay, so like Timothy, he was a participant in the labors of the gospel. So what we get, again, right off the bat, is that Epaphroditus wasn't just some casual Christian. Right? Like, he was invested in his relationship with Jesus so much so that he was laboring for the truth of the gospel to get out. He understood the urgency of that message. Thirdly, he's referred to as what? A fellow soldier. And so the work involved in the advancement of the gospel as a fellow worker, like, that would involve some danger at times. Look at Paul. He's in prison. And so Epaphroditus is referred to as a fellow soldier because he joined in standing firm for the truth of the gospel regardless of the circumstance. Fourthly, he's identified by Paul as a messenger. Epaphroditus was appointed and commissioned to present the Philippians' gifts to Paul. He was sent by the church as their representative, if you will. All right. And lastly, he's identified by Paul as a minister to my need, my being Paul. He was a minister to Paul, and he served that mission in any way that he could, even to the point where he almost died, Paul says. And so that's some pretty high praise for someone who's only mentioned a couple times in all of Scripture, Epaphroditus. You know, and again, I think that's so cool to see, because it's not exactly someone we're going to do a sermon series on. I don't think Pastor would buy that. 12 weeks on Epaphroditus and the life that he lived. I don't think that's going to happen. But there's still some things that we can learn from the life that he lived, even just mentioned in these few verses. He mentions that he's an example for them to follow. And then in verse 26, Paul really gets to this whole reason that he's writing and including this passage in there. He says this, again, he says, because he was longing for you, he being Epaphroditus, he was longing for you and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. So due to this illness that Epaphroditus had contracted, Paul says he's sending him back to Philippi. And I think even in these verses, we see just how deeply he cares for the church, just like Timothy did. Right? It shows the deep love and care that he had for them, because in hearing that the church had heard that he was sick, it caused him to be distressed, it says. See, Epaphroditus had a great love for these people. And so Paul's eager to send him to Philippi because he knows the impact that illness that he had on them as well. And then he gives some instruction in the last two verses. Paul gives instruction as to how the church is to receive him. Look what it says. Verse 29, "Receive him then in the Lord with all joy and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service of me." So he says, guess what? A genuine and joyful welcome is deserved by Epaphroditus. Why? Because he was the most famous. He was the most talked about. He was the most popular. He was the most well-known. No. A genuine and joyful welcome is deserved because he was engaged and active in the work of Christ, the work of the mission. He was a fellow worker, it says. He was a fellow soldier in proclaiming the truth of the gospel. In spite of even being sick, he risked his life for the interests of the ministry and the gospel of Jesus. And so what's our application this morning? What can we do with this travel log that we see thrown in the middle of the book of Philippians? What does that mean for us? And so a few application points. Let's start with this. These two men love the people of God. Do we love the people of God? Do we love the church? See, the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus, who love the people of God, they're genuinely concerned for them, for the health of the body. They care deeply for this church. I mean, do we care deeply for this church? Do we long to be with this body when we're not here? You know, and I'm so thankful that Pastor and Miss Danielle shared that message, because that's an excellent example for me in this sermon. So thank you for doing that. They've been gone for 7 days and they want to be a part of this body so bad that they send a video in to wish Fred and Winnie a happy anniversary. Like, that's cool. That's a love for the body. That's a longing for the body, a desire to be here. Right? Or do we just decide, you know, if we're feeling up to it on Sunday morning, if the weather's nice, if I slept in, you know, maybe I'll go to church. Maybe I'll be a part of that. Or do you desire to be a part of this body because there is a love for the church, a love for the people of God? Is that in you? Secondly, are you mission-driven? So Timothy and Epaphroditus were dedicated to the mission so much so that that is all that mattered to them, like Paul. And if you've been at Grace any amount of time, like if this is your first time today, our mission here of exalting Christ and pointing others to him is pretty hard to hide. It's up on these walls. But the question is for us who make up this body, us who make up this church, is that just writing on a wall? Right? Because if the people in this church don't live that out, then that's all it is writing on a wall. Right, and as members of this church, we shouldn't just rely on so-and-so and that person or this person or Pastor Patrick to do it, to live it out. Like, that's for us to exalt Christ and to point others to him in everything that we do. That's what we're called to do. Again, so the reality is, in order for this to be more than just words on a wall or something that we say occasionally on a Sunday morning, it needs to be lived out in our lives. And so maybe you do some reflecting this morning or as you go home to think, how am I doing that? Am I exalting Christ and pointing those to him in whatever I do, in my workplace, in my home, in my church? Am I doing that? Or am I asking someone else to do it? Or am I waiting for someone else to step up? And finally, the last point of application is that, are you an example? So these men are shouted out in Scripture because they're an example, a godly example, men of character, in their relationship with Jesus. And so the question is, are you an example, a man or woman of strong character that is rooted in the relationship that you have with Jesus? So much so that, like, we can shout you out as an example. as to what you're doing in Christ. Right? They get a shout out here in chapter 2 because they were examples of lives that were lived. Again, the title of our series, All for Jesus. That was their commitment. And so are you that kind of example? As Paul says, follow me as I follow after Christ. That's part of the church. Like, that's the design of the church, is what it's supposed to look like. Investing in others, being poured into, being in discipleship with someone else, and then pouring into and investing in someone else, a younger brother or sister in the Lord. That's how the church is supposed to work, to continue the furtherance of the gospel message. All right, so these men had a love for the church. They had a dedication to the mission of exalting Christ and pointing others to him. And they were godly men of character and had a strong relationship with Jesus that, like, that was all that they knew, was to represent him to this world, to be strong men of character in Christ. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for examples of, in your word, of individuals who left it all on the field, of individuals who were so focused and dedicated to the mission that you've called them to, that it was their only focus in this world. And so, God, we pray that we would have a dedication to the mission just like that. We pray that we would have a love for this body that just shows, that just overflows in and through the lives that we live. God, that we would have a love for your church because you love the church and we are the bride of Christ. And God, lastly, may we be an example of what it looks like to walk in obedience to you, to walk and live in a relationship with you. God, may we be in discipleship with one another. May we be invested in and as a result, invest in someone else for the furtherance of the gospel. God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. And God, I just pray that we would do some reflecting this morning. We see a lot of characteristics, godly characteristics that we should seek to have in our lives in this passage. God, help us to apply that. Help us to walk in accordance with what you would have for us. Again, so that your gospel would go forth. And it's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.